Thanks for joining us today for our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus. So let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
So, I would rather have the right thing with, and it's not the wrong name. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is the right name. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is the right name. Okay. Is it one and the same? You know, it's hard for me when I go through Scripture not to see them. If they're not one and the same, they're very, very closely linked. Okay. So I just want to kind of walk you through this here as we go through this. We've already proved that the day of Pentecost is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was talking about. We have also seen, if you go back here to Acts chapter 2, let's go over here to Acts chapter 2. If baptism of the Holy Spirit is not being filled with the Holy Spirit, my question is, why don't they use baptism of the Holy Spirit here instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit? But right here, it says when this is happening, which Jesus says is going to happen, it's described this way in verse 4, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it seems to me the baptism of the Holy Spirit is also being filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? And as we continue to go through God's word here, we see this time and time again. We saw it also with Cornelius and his family. As they were speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, it says. Okay? And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. As he's speaking, that happens. We'll see that again here in a moment. But here, it's interesting to me that when you go to Acts chapter 4, let's go over here to Acts chapter 4. That in the previous chapter here, Peter and John are at the temple. There's a man who's begging there, who's lame, and he's asking for alms. And Peter and John looked at him and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Immediately he leaps up and he's, you know, praising God and everything else. And so it's outside the beautiful gate. He's a lame man who was healed. Everybody saw that. Peter sees the opportunity to preach the word of God, and he does. And then it says in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Now as he spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they had taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them, put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So whether that means another 2,000 came to the Lord since the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 came to know the Lord, and so now it's a total of 5,000, or whether it's another 5,000, you know, I haven't really looked at it that deep to find out which one it is. But regardless, a lot of people believed after that lame man was healed and they began to preach the word of God. Okay. And then it says, "And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, as many as were the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem." So you have all these high priests as well as the other priests are there, whether the whole Sanhedrin was there or just part of it, it's still a gathering of the religious leaders that they were brought before. "And when they had set them," meaning Peter and John, "in the midst, they asked, 'By what power, what name have you done this?' And Peter," what does it say? "Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to this helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole.'" He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He talks about how Jesus is the one that healed him. And you know the Jesus I'm talking about, the one you crucified. He's rebuking him. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, meaning Jesus. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, meaning being filled with the Holy Spirit, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but they see it as boldness. We're on earth. How do you get to speak to us like that? They see the boldness there. And perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. These are a bunch of hick fishermen from Galilee. We can tell that they're uneducated, untrained men. They're not trained in the scriptures. Usually to be a disciple of a rabbi, you had to have the first five books of the Torah memorized. Completely memorized. And they're looking at these hillbillies. There ain't no way you've memorized. And yet you're his disciples. We understand, we can see by just talking to you that you're uneducated, you're untrained. But what do they really see? That they've been with Jesus. That's all I care about. That's all I care about for myself. That's all I care about with anybody else. I care less what kind of PhD somebody has. In my mind, I look at that as piled high and deep. If you and I want to talk about God's word, I don't care if you have a PhD in God's word. Okay? All I care about, have you been with Jesus? I think people come here and they go, well, I can tell Dave's untrained. But hopefully they could see I've been with Jesus. Because I have people come to me all the time, your first time here, second time here, maybe here for 3 or 4 weeks, and come to me and go, and I have people at least a half a dozen times a year come to me and just say, where have you gotten your training? Where'd you go to seminary? And I say, I haven't been to seminary, but I'll tell you what, I've been with Jesus. And that's all that matters. You will be able to be used by God if you just will be with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus, and he will use you. And he will use you. And he goes on, and he says, and seeing that the men who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further, oh yeah, we don't want any more healings taking place. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot speak the things which we have, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they are all filled, all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was 40 years old, of whom the miracle of healing had been performed. He's been lame. And he's been out there for, you know, as old enough as he could be out there, you know, but at least probably 25 years or so. So everybody in the town, everybody there in Jerusalem knows him. He's always by the beautiful gate. He's always by the temple, by the beautiful gate, always asking for alms. Everybody has seen him. Everybody knows who he is. They can't deny that a notable miracle has taken place. Now, verses 23 through 31, they go back to their companions. They have kind of a Bible study there. They tell everybody kind of what happened with the chief priests, and everybody told them to do, don't preach in his name, this, that, and the other thing. And so they get everybody together, and they begin to pray. And then verse 27, it says, for truly, as they're praying to God, truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand, your purpose determined to be determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. by stretching out your hand to heal. So they're asking for boldness to preach the word still in the midst of this threat. And stretch out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders might be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It seems to speak the word of God with boldness is also equated with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Thus, every time it says, and they spoke boldly. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, what they saw was them being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the question is, at this point, they were already filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But they get filled again in Acts chapter 4. And so, I would submit to you that it will be something that I think you have to keep praying and asking for all the time. I want you to go over here again to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Actually, starting here in verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, this is after Peter's amazing sermon here on the day of Pentecost. It says in verse 39, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, remember what Jesus says, this is the promise of my Father that he's promised you. For this promise is for you, to all those who repent. The promise is for you and to your children and to all who are far off. Now, I don't think they understood what he meant here, okay? Because later on, those who are far off, when Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapters 2 and 3, the word afar off always meant Gentiles. Those who are near always spoke of the Jews because they had the ordinances, the commandments of God, and everything else. They were near to God because God has revealed himself to them through the Mosaic covenant, through the Abrahamic covenant, and so they are near. They know the word of God, okay, whether they're practicing or not. So they're the ones that are near. The ones who are far off are the Gentiles, the ones that weren't given this special covenant with God. But here he says, for the promise is to you and to your children, speaking to the Jews, and to all, now it means everyone, who are far off, meaning the Gentiles, as many as the Lord our God will call. Truth was spoken there, prophecy was spoken there, but even Peter, who is preaching this, doesn't understand this. Because he's blown away when he's being called to who? Cornelius, the centurion, a Gentile, his family. Lord, what are you doing? He doesn't even, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is a promise that Jesus was talking about in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. That's what he's talking about there. That's what he's talking about there. He goes on in verse 40, with many other words, he testified, exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That's how the church began. It immediately was a megachurch. It's unbelievable. So when you receive Jesus, I believe that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you're infilled with the Holy Spirit, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we'll see that here in a moment. But I want to say this as well. I want you to go to, well, you don't need to go there. It'll be up here. John 7, okay? In John 7, verse 37, it says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, this would be the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood, cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. How? When? How is that? Next verse. But he spoke concerning what? The Spirit. Whom those believing in him, when you receive Jesus, if you believe in him, would receive. Who? The Spirit. Him you would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Can't happen yet. Jesus has to die for the sin of mankind. He has to raise from the dead. And then he has to go up to the right hand of the Father. And then he can send the Holy Spirit to those who receive Jesus. Now, we're going to come back to those verses here in a moment. But we're told that you can have three experiences with the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit can be with you. This is today. He can be with you. He could be in you. He could be upon you, okay? I want you to go to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verse 16, starting there, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So the helper is the Spirit of truth. Now go down here to verse 26. But the helper, who? The Holy Spirit. So the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, they're one. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So here in verse 17, it says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive," meaning the Holy Spirit, "because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you." Jesus hasn't gone to the right hand of the Father yet. So he can't give them the Holy Spirit, his disciples, who he's talking to here. "But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The word "with" here is a Greek word. It's para. It means to come alongside. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing today with everyone. You're here in chapter 14. Go over here to chapter 16. Says here in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." The Holy Spirit won't come to you. "But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come," when the Holy Spirit has come, at that point, "he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me." So, this is what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. He's convicting he's with everyone. And he's convicting them of not believing in Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing with everyone. But when you receive Jesus, then what? He is with you. He's talking to his disciples, but then he will be in you. You believe in me, but until I go to the right hand of my Father, I can't send him to you. Okay? In John chapter 16, verse 9, again, he's convicting of sin because they do not believe in him, okay? But once you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. The Greek word there is "en," and it means "will be in you," okay? I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's just good to always know where this is. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 21, in verse 20, it says, "For all the promises of God are in him," meaning Jesus. "And yes, in him, Jesus, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes with you in Christ," you're in Christ, okay? That's that "in." You're in Christ, "has anointed us." So if you're in Christ, God has anointed us. With who? "Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Okay? So when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you as a guarantee to get you where you are going, which is heaven. It's a guarantee. Now, next to this, I have Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. So I want you to go to the book of Ephesians here, chapter 1. And look what it says here in verse 12. It says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him, Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you heard the gospel, you received the gospel, you trusted in Jesus, in whom also having believed in Jesus, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who, because the Holy Spirit of promise, the promise the Father promised Jesus, the one that Jesus was talking about in Acts chapter 1, wait for the promise of the Father, that promise right there, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of his glory. You've been sealed. You have been guaranteed. It's that promise of the Father that Jesus was talking about, who says that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is what God's word says. Now, if you go back to Galatians chapter 4, it says in verse 6, speaking to believers, those who have received Jesus, and because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son, the Holy Spirit, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So again, when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit now comes inside. But guess what? Can't leave anymore. This is something that has happened that's never happened before in the history of the world. The Holy Spirit now can come and reside in you permanently. And that is an amen, that's for sure. Now, going back here to John chapter 14. In verse 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring to remembrance all things that I've said to you. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that not only is he going to lead and guide you in truth, but he is also going to bring, he's going to teach you all things, bring to remembrance all things that I said to you, Jesus said. Well, how do you know what Jesus said? By his word. He says, I will bring to your remembrance. To bring something to your remembrance means that you have read it before. I've received Jesus, but I don't really read the Word of God, but I pray all the time, and yet he never brings to me remembrance of anything he said. Well, that's because you're not reading what he says. He'll bring to your remembrance because there was a first time when you read his Word, and the more you read his Word, the more that the Spirit can use that to remind you of the things that the Word of God says. But if you're not reading the Word of God, you're wondering why you can't remember what the Lord says. And this is why the Holy Spirit doesn't bring it up, because he can't remind you of something that you haven't been reading. But if you have been reading, he will remind you. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands. But I guarantee you there's many of us here that all of a sudden a situation comes up and then I'm reminded by what the Word of God says. And so I know what to do or say. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does.
Well, that wraps up this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we dive deeper into our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.